is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, also a former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, looking very carefully at information we're getting from the Republican convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to do with foreign policy. There is a new name to look at in the Republican Party now. The choice of Donald Trump, not yet the nominee, presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, his choice for vice president is J.D. Vance of Ohio, elected in 2022 from Ohio. He is a Buckeye, graduate of Ohio State. He's also a graduate of Yale Law School. He worked in Silicon Valley. He's extremely sophisticated speaker and talker, and he's given an interview that Bloomberg News writes up. J.D. Vance branded China the biggest threat to America in one of his first interviews since being named Donald Trump's running mate, writes Bloomberg, underscoring the likely hawkish stance of their administration toward Beijing if elected. The Ohio senator made the remarks in an interview with Fox News' Sean Hannity on Monday. Mary, a very good evening to you. Hawkish towards China. That doesn't sound like a break in the action from the Biden administration maintaining tariffs. What do you expect from the Trump administration on China? What is China hearing? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I'm always amazed at these news stories that they always focus solely on what the United States is doing and not on what China is doing, which is the real issue here, and is why you've seen Republican and Democrat U.S. administrations take a tougher stance, not because we necessarily want to or we harbor any ill will, but because we're being forced to, because the Communist Party, not only is it, of course, committing genocide and crimes against humanity against its own people, but its aggressiveness towards so many of its neighbors, its breaking of trade rules, its aggressiveness towards us, its efforts to infiltrate our military bases here at home, its influence activities. I mean, I could go on and on. So I don't think it's a matter of the, you know, if the Trump administration comes in, if they're going to be tough. I think any U.S. administration that comes in next is going to be forced to continue the policies that were started under Trump because of China's behavior.
When asked about Mr. Vance's remarks at a regular press briefing, Bloomberg reporting, Tuesday in Beijing, Foreign Ministry spokesman Lin Zhan said his nation, quote, opposes U.S. elections making an issue of China. What the heck does that mean, Mary?
You cannot take anything that the Communist Party says at face value. It's simply propaganda, John. It doesn't matter what they say. It's all for domestic consumption and to be provocative. So China, in its propaganda, attempts to divide us here in the United States. That's one of their goals. So that's how I would read his statement.
Mr. Vance is well informed about investment. He worked in the business of investment once on his way after Yale Law School and on his way to becoming a politician. He's aware of the investment in China that made possible much of the miracle of these last years. We can presume that his remarks about China being a threat mean that investment is not wise. But I was surprised to hear, Mary, in reporting from the Financial Times that there are investors and investor funds in this country originating in the U.S. and Europe that remain invested in China. Does that surprise you, Mary, that after all the explication your administration did and the Biden administration is doing now, that there are investors who think China is a safe bet for their clients?
It doesn't surprise me because, as I've said before on your program, we haven't classified China as an adversary, as an enemy yet, from the U.S. government's point of view. Therefore, we haven't made it illegal for these investors to try to make money over there. And in doing so, the U.S. government is allowing Americans essentially to provide capital for the Communist Party and for their military build-out, which, of course, again, threatens their people, their neighbors, and us. So it's an unfortunate situation. It's a transitional period in terms of U.S. policy. And one would hope that if it's not going to happen in this administration, it will happen in the next, where we have a president who decides to call China what it really is, with all of the attendant implications, including banning investment in a nation that wants to dominate us.
Speaking of energy, Mary, there is a column by John Authors in Bloomberg this morning talking about the Trump trade, or presuming the Republican Party is successful. The three elements that Mr. Authors recommends, and it's just talk on Wall Street. Everybody loves to talk midday. Financials, banks. Number two is a steepening yield curve, bonds. And number three is energy. I'm keen on energy. Is your measure now that the energy production in this country has been constricted significantly by the Biden administration's policies, or cosmetically? In other words, enough to look good, but always worried about the price of gasoline as a disruptor in reelection plans, either for the 22 election midterm or for the 24 election. And a Republican administration, does it have room to reignite energy production, or are we already there? How do you see it, Mary?
I think the answer is clearly yes. The Biden team has significantly constricted U.S. energy production in three ways. First, through canceling pipeline construction, like the Keystone Pipeline from Canada to the U.S., or the LNG export ban. Secondly, through slowing down regulatory approvals of new projects. And thirdly, by funneling U.S. taxpayer money into other forms of energy that are currently uneconomic, namely solar and wind. And so in those three ways, U.S. energy production has not reached the potential it could have at a time when our friends and allies, for instance, in Europe, have hugely increased demand for U.S. energy because of what happened in Russia. So as a result, we haven't taken advantage of that market opportunity. And you've seen our allies in Germany and other places having to turn back to Putin while he's prosecuting a war on the continent. It's absurd. I think a Trump-Vance ticket would reverse these trends significantly. They would open up pipeline construction. They would lift the regulatory burden, and they would remove the U.S. taxpayer money that's going to uneconomic green energy projects.
The other part of energy is the net zero ambition our European allies have had for several years, although the war in Ukraine has considerably retarded that net zero ambition. And here in this country, though it's not as much talked about, we have had EVs subsidized, but recent failures of EV companies, not Tesla — I'd count Teslas every Sunday, they're doing very well in the countryside — but other companies that were looking to follow Tesla's example are struggling or have already failed. So in this country, I can't say there's a severe rush to green. With the Trump administration, we're speculating here, let the marketplace choose, because that's what's going on now. The marketplace is choosing to move away from the EV companies that thought there was an advantage to getting out first. Or would there be need for the Trump administration? Would there be room for the Trump administration to abridge the net zero ambitions?
I don't think there's any appetite in the Republican Party for a net zero pledge. In fact, just the opposite. I think there would be an argument for clean energy in the form of natural gas, which, you know, used to be the clean energy titan for even the Democrat Party. So I don't see us following our European friends.
And I mentioned financials, that's the banks, and there would be profit for investment class, but investment in general. The market's doing very well, thank you very much. We're all waiting for the Federal Reserve to decide that there's enough success in reaching 2% that the cost of money can be reduced. What is your general sense of the economy? You see other parts of the country than I do, Mary. Is the economy stable? Are there signs of weakness?
Well, there's a lot of concern about commercial real estate and those loans that are getting rolled over at a much higher interest rate. Although, to be fair, we haven't seen a lot of failures. There have been, of course, several high-profile bank failures, Silicon Valley Bank, for instance. But we haven't seen that ripple through the economy. That's good news. I think the consumer has remained relatively strong. However, we have been in a freight recession now for 2 years as a result of U.S. government policy, where the federal government gave so much money to small truckers that they've been able to stay in business even though their profits have declined. And so that's kind of retarded the recovery in that market. I think in terms of the overall economy, we're growing at an okay rate. It's a European-like rate, but we're nowhere near our full potential. And that's due mostly to policy out of Washington. It's due to the threat of higher taxes if the Trump tax cuts expire. It's due to the dampening on animal spirits, thanks to an incredibly activist and often unconstitutional regulatory state under this administration. And it's unfortunate because this is the moment when we could attract even more capital from the rest of the world. You have China struggling. You have Europe in the throes of two wars. The United States is the most attractive place for investors to come. And so I think when you see this so-called Trump trade on Wall Street, it's reflective of that. I think the market is forward-looking and it's saying, if Trump gets in office, you're going to see an economic boom because he will be pro-competition. He will lift the tax and regulatory burden, and happy times are here again. So I think the question is, what happens if that didn't happen? What happens if you had a second term of Biden and you didn't see a pickup in activity and you didn't see a reduction in rates? You saw sticky inflation. Then I think you could see the kind of, bank failure, economic crisis that everyone has feared.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. And we're going to turn to Europe because President Trump, before the tragedy in Butler, Pennsylvania, was in a meeting with the Prime Minister of Hungary with surprising things to say about the Ukraine tragedy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.